Okay, if you have a Bible, if you could open to Matthew 18, and we're going to read a few verses, just verses 19 and 20. And so these are Jesus' words. He says, "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Let me just read those verses again. "Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." Let's just pray. Father, your word is powerful. Lord, your word isn't dormant. It's not print on a page. It's living. It's active. Sharper than a double-edged sword, even to dividing soul and spirit. Father, it judges the motives of our hearts, Lord God, the attitudes that we have. And so, Lord, we pray that today your word will go to work in our lives, Lord God, and show us your character and remind us of your promises and encourage us for the future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We started last week to talk about prayer, and I wasn't sure this was going to become a series, although I had more to say than I said last week. I was just going to wait on the Lord and see if he wanted me to carry on in that direction. But during the week, I felt that there was something more that the Lord wanted to impart into our life as a church in the whole area of prayer. So last week, I talked about how important prayer was personally for the believer. We talked about the temple of God, and when Jesus went into the temple and he cast out the money changers and those selling animals, and he said, "You have made this to be a den of thieves," even though the temple where they were to worship was supposed to be set apart as a house of prayer for the nations. And we talked about how in the New Testament, the church, us, are referred to as the temple. And individually, we are referred to as the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that the same zeal that overtook Jesus' heart for the purity of his physical temple to be set apart as a house of prayer is the same zeal he feels today when he looks at his church, that we be set apart as a house of prayer. When he looks at us individually as believers, that we be set apart as a house of prayer. And so we talked about the power and the importance of prayer individually as believers. I ended up by saying, if you want to learn how to pray, you can read books on prayer and you can watch YouTube videos on prayer and you can listen to sermons on prayer. But at the end of the day, the place that you learn to pray is praying. The greatest school of prayer is prayer itself. If you don't know how to pray, the Lord will show you how to pray. This week, I want us to look a little bit more broadly at the subject of prayer. And we're going to look today at the prayer of agreement. And that's what we just read in Matthew 18, verses 19 to 20. Up here on the screen is a definition of the word agreement. And it's a noun, harmony, togetherness in opinion or feeling. Harmony or togetherness in opinion or feeling. And some of the synonyms there: to be in accord, concurrence, consensus, harmony, accordance, unity, unison, concord, like-mindedness, rapport, sympathy. To be united, to be together in prayer. And so as I read that definition, I thought about the different aspects within this passage of togetherness and what it means. And the first thing that I felt that this passage was saying is that the Lord wanted to be together deliberately. Verse 19. "Again, truly, I tell you," Jesus said, "that if two of you on earth," let's just stop there, "two of you on earth," there's something that the Lord wants to establish of us being together. There's power that comes when we are together, more so than when we minister or spend time alone individually with the Lord. Everything flows out of that a quiet time that we have behind closed doors in the secret place. Everything else flows out of that intimacy individually that we have with the Lord. So when you come here on a Sunday, if you haven't spent time in the Lord's presence and yet you still expect to encounter God and to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit to each other, then God's grace may be sufficient, and he may overturn the fact that we haven't spent much time in his presence, and his power may, through grace, be released through you because he is a loving God. But if you want to walk in that abiding anointing that we spoke of recently, if you want to walk in that place of intimacy with the Lord, if you want to know him so that when the moment comes, you're ready, that only comes from being alone with the Lord. But in addition to that, the Lord shows us in Scripture, and I don't understand how this works except that the Lord delights to be amongst his people and for us to be unified, that when we are together, there's a multiplied effectiveness in prayer. One sunny Saturday afternoon, there was a pastor and his family, and they were out in the garden, and they were playing with their new kitten. And this new kitten was adorable, but this kitten ran off, and it ran up one of the trees in the front garden, and it got stuck between two branches. In fact, its head got wedged between two sharp branches, and the family tried to free this kitten from these branches, but couldn't. And so the pastor, being a very creative man, decided that he would come up with a solution. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tie a rope to the tree. And I'll tie the other end of the rope to the car. And I'll drive away slowly. The tree will bend and we'll be able to maneuver our way into the branches and rescue the kitten. And so the man jumped in his car. He attached one end of the rope to the tree first and the other end to his car. He jumped in the car and he drove. The car moved. The tree began to bend. He drove some more forward. The tree began to bend. And then suddenly the rope snapped. And the tree catapulted up to the upright position. And the kitten flew through the air in the other direction. That's the end of the story. 2 weeks later, the pastor was visiting one of his parishioners, went to their house and knocked on the door. Oh, pastor, come in. He walked into the house. There was his cat. He couldn't believe it. It was unmistakably his cat. But he didn't want to say to the woman, that is my cat. So he said, that's an interesting looking cat. Had her long. And she said, pastor, you would never believe what happened. 2 weeks ago, we were in the back garden on a sunny day, one Saturday afternoon, and my little daughter said, Mummy, can we have a cat? And the mummy said, no, we cannot have a cat. But Mummy, I really want a cat. No, we are not having a cat. And the daughter was so persistent that the only thing I could think of to say was, let's just kneel and pray. And so in the garden, we knelt and prayed to the Lord Jesus. And we said, Jesus, if you want my daughter to have a cat, we pray that you will send a cat. And pastor, you never would guess what happened next. When we make a choice to pray together, amazing things happen. When we pray together, we see coincidences happen that wouldn't happen if we didn't pray. Amen. And so you can testify. In fact, many people already today have testified to how when people have stood together in prayer, God has answered their prayers and amazing things have happened. Let's talk about unity for a second. Let's talk about how God loves unity. Going back to Genesis. Now let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Genesis is later. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, also up here on the screen. This verse is often quoted in marriage ceremonies, and it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And verse 11, also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken. The Lord wants us to understand that he has designed us to operate together. We are part of a body, and each of us offers something in terms of the grace of God to one another in order for us to see multiplied effectiveness. Some people think that as a Christian, they can go through life flying solo. But the Lord wants to remind us, I believe, again today, that there's something that happens when we come together that doesn't happen when we're on our own. And when we pray together, there's something that happens in terms of God's pleasure resting upon that. And so in this passage, it says when two people on earth come together, when we deliberately choose to bring ourselves together, God does something really wonderful in our midst. Let's carry on a little bit. The second thing I believe from this passage that God wanted to say was that he wanted us to pray together in unity. Verse 19 again. If two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, if two of you on earth agree, if you're married here today, could you raise your hand? And I'd like you to put your hand down if you've never had a disagreement. How does it feel when you disagree? Does it feel nice? You like a good argument? It feels horrible, doesn't it? Because we're in disunity. You can't be one heart. You can't share one heart. You can't be of one mind. You can't move forward together. And that's why grace is the most important ingredient in the life of a married couple, in the life of a family, in the life of a gathered together community like this. Because grace gives to the other what they don't deserve. Say, grace gives to the other what they don't deserve. And love covers over a multitude of sins. Say that. If grace is missing from any relationship, we'll try and pin people down by the law. If grace is missing from any relationship, we'll try and pin people down by the law. And suddenly our words are used against us, and we use other people's words against us, and we look for the worst in them. And churches are divided because people's hearts are turned away from one another. Let me just say this. When I was a new Christian, I was 18 years old. When I was 19 years old, the church that I was part of, which was flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the pastor at the time was preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was deep disunity in the leadership. I didn't know about it. But when I came to the youth group, the Lord convicted me that there was disunity even between brothers and sisters in the youth group. People were talking about each other behind their backs. I see that stuff happening, and it doesn't grieve me always as it did back then. But I had a taste of God's heart, and I understood how deeply God cares about broken relationships, that his heart is grieved when people's hearts are turned one from another. That church split. There was no forgiveness. There was no repentance. A new church was planted out of the church split. A few years later, that church split. That church subsequently split. Why? Because blessing reproduces blessing. Unity reproduces unity. Disunity reproduces disunity. So let me say this. The Lord desires, covets unity in his body. Why? Because the Lord has promised that where brothers dwell together in unity, that there will be blessing. And so when we join our hearts together and are one together, the Lord blesses that. He is delighted by that. He rejoices in that. And so he says in this passage, even though you're unique, when you come together and agree, something powerful is released. I was preaching a sermon in Birmingham. Birmingham, the part of Birmingham we were in at the time was a university area. And so we had lots of students and people who worked in academia that used to come along to the church. And once I was talking about how we are unique as children of God. There isn't another person like us. Our experiences, our giftedness, our personality, there's no one that can serve the Lord in quite the same way as you. I preached this sermon, and part of the sermon was an illustration. I said, and it's just like every snowflake is unique. Every single snowflake is unique. There's not another single snowflake in the whole of the world. But then it suddenly occurred to me, and I said it out loud, I wonder who does the research on that. I wonder who researches all of those snowflakes. Anyway, afterwards, a professor from the university came over and said, my name is Professor So-and-so, and I want to tell you that I am a research snowflake scientist. I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. And I said, people like that don't exist. And he said, I want to tell you, I've been doing this for 16 years, and I exist. And he says, here's an interesting fact. If you put a snowflake in one test tube and a snowflake in another, and you melt them down, they become liquid, and then you freeze them again, they take on exactly the same structure as they had before. Here's the point. One snowflake that drops on your face, it just melts and dissolves and disappears. But thousands of snowflakes together can stop traffic. Snowflake is beautiful and unique, but by itself is weak. Together, drifts can block people into their houses and stop trains from running and slow down traffic. Together, there is power. When we agree together on earth, there is power. Individually, we can pray and we can rejoice, and God says the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective, but the prayer of agreement God delights in. And he says when two on earth agree, then power will be released. Let me just show you this. This is Genesis 11. If you've got your Bibles, will you open up to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 8? Now, this is the time when the people on earth were coming together, and in their ingenuity were going to build a tower to reach the heavens. Verse 1, now the whole world had one language and common speech. As people moved eastwards, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They did a good job. They were thorough. It's good to do a good job. But they used these bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And then they said to themselves, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Let's build this tower to make a name, not for God, but to make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord says, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Even with ungodly intentions, because they're one in language and have the same purpose, nothing they plan to do will be impossible. And so God says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. Some people say that when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2, and people from every tongue came and worshipped, heard the Lord's praises being uttered by those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. They heard God being praised in their own language because God had restored a common language. That there was something that God reversed when the church was birthed that was lost. And listen to this. If people who, with ungodly intent, who are united in purpose, can be unstoppable. Nothing they plan to do will be impossible. How much more the church of God, when we are united, will be unstoppable. We have the Spirit of God in us. And when we walk in unity with one another and seek God's face and have oneness of mind and oneness of purpose, then the devil shudders. Do you know that a united church is a powerful church? Do you know that a disunited church is a powerless church? The Lord covets our unity, and he wants us to come together in prayer and agree. Third aspect of this passage, when two on earth come together and agree, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. I believe the Lord wants to show us today that we need to come expectantly, expectantly. You know, when my boys were really little, I was everything to them. Now my eldest son, Aaron, when we go to the town centre, he walks 20 paces in front of me. When he was little, it was like, Daddy, Daddy, can I have something? Daddy, will you do? And my heart was just like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you come and see. And we used to sit on the couch, and I used to put my arm around, he's not here today, and I used to put my arm around him, and I used to just enjoy being in fellowship with my boy, and we used to love one another, and he used to put his legs across mine, and we used to be intertwined. And his heart and my heart were so connected, and everything he wanted, he came and he asked for, and he expected that as long as it wasn't a crazy request, he would get what he asked for. And I think that's the kind of simple faith that the Lord wants us to have, that we know his word, and we know his promises. And that when he says something is thus and thus, we believe him. And so if the Lord has promised you today through his word something specific, you can know for sure that you can stand on that promise. And so he's saying in this passage here that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. When you come to the Lord in prayer, do you believe that the Lord hears your prayer? When you come to the Lord in prayer, do you believe that your prayers move the heart and move the hand of God? There are some people who, as Christians, believe something about God's sovereignty, which means that pretty much it doesn't matter what they pray for because God will just do his own thing anyway. And it's true that God can do whatever he wants to do, but there's a mystery in prayer that I haven't fully grasped, that the Lord delights to involve us in seeing his kingdom outworked here on earth. And when we pray, God hears. And our prayers, when we pray according to his will in his name, move the very hand of God. So this morning when we prayed for our government, I believe that God heard our prayers and he will work powerfully in answer to our prayers. When Ian was in hospital and we prayed for him over the last few weeks, I believe that the Lord has heard our prayers. And when Victoria was laid up at home after having an accident and she felt bolstered, lifted up through the prayers of the saints, she felt the up in the spirit because people were praying. God hears our prayers. He is powerful to work through the prayers of his people. And so when we come together in prayer and agree together in prayer, we need to expect that God will move in answer to our prayers. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. There were two boys who were twins. One always expected good things to happen, and one was sure that good things would never happen. The parents were worried about these extremes of behavior and these attitudes, and they finally took the boys to see a psychologist. The psychologist observed them both for a while and said, well, I think they can easily be helped. He said that he had a room in the building filled with toys, and it was every toy that a child could want. They would put the pessimist in the room with the toys, and that would make him happy. They also had another room that was filled with manure. They would put the positive boy in there and just see what happened. And so they put the optimist in the room with the toys. Sorry, in the room, the pessimist in the room with the toys, the optimist in the room with the manure. They put the boy who was an optimist in the room with the manure and observed him through a two-way mirror. One of the boys, the pessimist, continued to be a pessimist. Even though he had all of these toys to play with, he complained that he hadn't got anyone to play with, and he sat silently and in a mood because there was no one to share these toys with. They went to look at the optimist, and they were astounded to see him digging through the manure. This shouldn't happen. So they ran into the room, and the psychologist said, "What are you doing?" And the optimist replied, "There was so much manure in this room, I felt that if I dug further and far enough in, I would find the pony." As Christians, we can have a confident expectation of good based on who we know God is and on the promises that he has made to us in his word. Amen? As Christians, we can have a confident expectation of good based on who we know he is and the promises that he has made in his word. If you were David coming before Goliath, you could have two reactions to what you see before you. The first is, "Wow, he's so big, I'm going to run away." The second would be, "Wow, he's so big, there's no way I'd miss." How we view God and what we expect of God is determined by what we believe, who we believe God is, and what we understand by the promises that he has made in his word. John 14, verse 13 to 14, we read these verses last week. It says, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." Say, "In my name." "So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name," say, "In my name, and I will do it." The secret to prevailing prayer, the prayer of agreement and any other kind of prayer, is to pray in accordance with God's word. What I've learned from my African brothers and sisters, as I've heard some of you praying, is that when you pray the word, you pray according to God's will every time. And so, Lord, I thank you that you say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful to keep your word. And Lord, we know that your word says in Romans 8 that you work all things together for good. Pray God's word. If you don't know the scriptures, learn the scriptures, and as you know the scriptures, pray the scriptures. That's one way of praying according to the word of God. But listen, the Holy Spirit is the one who leads our prayers. If you pray in tongues, pray in tongues. It's a great way to open up your spirit to the Holy Spirit's move as you're praying. But as you're praying, pray until he begins to lead proceedings. Don't come with your shopping list only. The Lord delights to answer our prayers, and we can come to him with prayers and requests, supplications. The Bible's very clear about that. But when the Holy Spirit leads the prayer meeting, that's when things begin to happen. So allow the Holy Spirit to lead. Begin with worship. Begin with adoration. Ask him to take control and see where things go. If I will do whatever you ask in my name. And then finally, this passage finishes with a reminder that when we come together in prayer, that we are together with Christ. Matthew 18, verse 20. "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." When you come together in prayer, there's something that happens that doesn't happen when we're on our own. This is the reason we gather together like this isn't that God isn't with us the rest of the time. But there's something powerful that happens when we come together corporately. There's some way in which the Lord manifests his presence when we come together corporately like this. Some people would call it perhaps a corporate anointing. And so do not neglect being together. Sundays is great. Life groups are great. But the challenge that I want to leave with you today is to practice this prayer of agreement. That when we come together, even in small numbers, the Lord not only promises to be there amongst you in a special way, but that when we pray according to his will in his name, the Father will do what we've asked for when we pray in unity, in agreement. And so there are some people I know of in Hope Church who meet together to pray in twos and threes, a prayer partner or a prayer triplet. You're already in life groups. You've already accessed some of the other ministries that are going on in the church. But there are some people I know of already who meet together in twos or in threes just to pray with one another. Put your hand up if that's you. Or praise God. So here's how we exercise the prayer of agreement. We can come together corporately. Somebody can take the microphone at the front and we can pray and you can all say amen. That's one form of praying in agreement. But there's something that happens when you connect your heart to another person. Something really powerful that happens when you pray from that place of unity. And if you don't have somebody that you pray with regularly, maybe one person, maybe two people, then I would encourage you from this day to go away and seek the Lord for who that person will be. Oh, but Pastor, I don't have time. Well, we have to decide what are the things that are most important. If we don't live by priorities, we'll live by pressures. Prayer is a priority. And if we don't decide what are the most important things, pressures will crowd in and stop us from doing the most important things. If we don't live by priorities, we will live by pressures. And so determine in your heart that prayer is going to be the most important thing in your walk with God. You're going to pray in your life group. You're going to pray when the doors close just between you and the Lord. You're going to develop a relationship in prayer. But as the Lord leads you, when you seek him and ask him, is there somebody, Lord, that you're giving me to become a partner in prayer? Or a triplet in prayer? So that we can practice this prayer of agreement. And when we come together, we can pray with agreement and know for sure that the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is with us in our midst. And that when we pray according to God's will, he's going to be pleased to do whatever we ask in his name. And so I'm just going to ask you just to close your eyes now and just focus on the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, even right now, to just drop the name of somebody into your heart who you can begin to pray with. It doesn't have to be on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be every day, perhaps weekly, perhaps fortnightly, but planned so that you actually do it. It's a commitment to one another to meet and to pray, to incorporate prayer as a bigger part of your life. Holy Spirit, even right now, Lord, I pray that you'll just drop the name of one or two people into these dear ones' hearts can pray with. And if it's your will, Lord, that they meet with these people regularly, I pray that there'll be a stirring even right now, Lord God, a conviction that comes upon people's hearts now, a determination, Lord, to move forward with this. Again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For when two or three gather in my name, there I am with them in their midst. Amen. God bless you.